And our two special guests, Michael and Nicole Sebastian, as we talk about dreams and night terrors and all those good things. We'll be back with both of them and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Michael and Nicole Sebastian, as we talk about night terrors and how to control your dreams. Michael, I have heard that children seem to be more susceptible to night terrors than adults. Is that true?
Yes, they are, actually, and most of it has to do with past lives or reincarnation and remembering. From the age of very early on till the age of five, approximately, children will remember their past lives, how they, you know, and it turns into a night terror because perhaps they remember dying in a past life in some dramatic fashion. And that creates a night terror for them. So that's why that occurs.
Nicole, do you work with children with night terrors or just the adults?
Both. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had the client, and actually we serviced the client and her child. And there was a ghost in the house on top of it that we got rid of. From afar, we don't even need to be there. These techniques are so powerful, and they're ancient. They're ancient.
How ancient are they?
Well, 5,000 years for sure, and further back. You know, like I mentioned, divinators and oracles and the pharaoh and guidance and direction and all. And, but we've been dreaming ever since we were created as soul. So, you know, we're talking way back. And I think, you know, it just makes sense. God, universe, whatever, implanted this within us. So we didn't have to go anywhere else to receive the guidance that we need. It just makes sense.
And a lot of these ancient mysteries were, they were mystery schools. And Plato had a mystery school. Pythagoras, the mathematician, had something called the Blue Star School. And Osiris and Isis and the Essenes. And their job simply was to pass those secrets, arcane secrets, ancient knowledge that we have within, to pass it on.
Which is why we started our own mystery school called Divine Guidance Institute.
So tell me about that. How does that work?
Oh, it's fabulous. It's a nonprofit, Divine Guidance Institute and Wellness Center, and it's a modern-day mystery school. We don't do initiations and all that. No. We teach you how to gain and learn and use divine guidance 24/7 so you never get blindsided again, combined with the one-step therapy, and voila, we do, you know, the online courses. We've got the free do-it-yourself mini course. You sign up for our little newsletter. Then we've got our do-it-yourself books if you don't want to interact with us or anyone else. I mean, we've laid this thing out so user-friendly, it's just not even funny. But bottom line, it's about becoming your own oracle, George.
Prior to COVID, had you two done any live events?
Actually, no. We've been quiet for a while because I was finishing my PhD. So, we just wanted to get everything. You know, we use divine guidance to get the message right. We use the tools to get our message right for the people. So, you know, we took time. You know, it was like, hey, the inner said, go get your PhD. I'm like, okay, thanks. So there we went. And so now we're coming out of the dark.
Tom will approach you two a little bit later on in a couple months for our Beyond Belief TV shows in Denver as soon as the fires calm down out there.
Oh, George, that would be fabulous. Your show rocks. It rocks.
Yeah, we would love that.
Well, you know, we deal with what you deal with, and it's amazing. Now, would you say, Michael and Nicole, that we're dealing with the supernatural with dreams, or is it something within our physical body?
We're really dealing with both, and it's a two-sided coin. But we are supernatural. You know, like signs, and I tell people, you are the sign. And, you know, how is that the case? Well, like attracts like. That's a physical law and a spiritual law, like electromagnetism. And when we have a thought about something, it sends out an electromagnetic field, and other people who are of like consciousness are attracted to that immediately, and that's how we draw it to us. Like when you were talking earlier, you said, whoa, I would just go ahead and set up a dream, and I'd think about it and focus on, and sure enough, I'd get the job, because they would be attracted to you because like attracts like.
Let's go to the phones. Joe in the Bronx. Take it away, Joseph. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hello?
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, my question is for Nicole, based on what she was saying. She was saying that, first of all, we can ask questions about the future or whatever, but would you... two questions I have. When you're playing chess, you might make your next move as opposed to multiple moves. So would you be asking more for your next move? And my second, my bigger question would be, you know, they say when you're having dreams that the person you're looking at in some way is like you. But might it also be the case that, no, that the people around you are contrasting you to a degree where they're showing you where you're at on a spectrum? Maybe you're a better baseball player than them, and the, or worse, or you have a better attitude, or you, or et cetera, or a better productivity, et cetera, et cetera, where it's showing you that you're on a spectrum in relation to the other characters to your dream.
Which one of you two wants that?
Hey, Joe, yeah, I'll be glad to take that one. Joe, first off, let me answer both. Yes and yes. Now we're going to back up.
Okay, all right.
Your next move. Yes, you program for your next move. However, or to be included, you're going to be given snapshots of the whole picture and the whole package and the outcome, which is like the dangling carrot to keep you moving towards your goal, which again gives you a confirmation to know you're headed in the right direction and you're on point. So it's a combo. Now let me address the second part, which was about people and aspects. Yes, like Michael had, that was a specific dream about me, and my dream about deceased Linda, that was a specific thing. However, often people in your dreams are parts of us. Yes, let's say I dream of, I don't know, someone I admire, okay? It's letting me know, probably, you know, to incorporate parts of their attitude or perspective into my own so I can be a better person. Also, the key, always the key, this is why dream dictionaries are not useful. We are unique, and the key is, what was I thinking about specifically? That's the best way to interpret a dream. What was I thinking about? And then you use word association to interpret your symbols. Cat might mean love, or swimming or water might mean fear because you almost drowned 2 years ago. So everything's very unique to the individual. Hence, trust yourself.
What does it mean, Nicole or Michael, when our dearly departed who have died don't visit us in our dream state? Why not?
Michael, I want to go first.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks. Well, first off, they do, but we don't remember. Let's just start with that. We all dream every night, 4 to 6, usually more, and we just don't remember because we always have the dreams of the deceased, loved ones, pets, animals, this whole thing, because it brings us comfort, it brings us clarity, guidance, maybe a message. So if you want to connect, it's a technique we have developed, connecting with the deceased loved one. You lay down, comfy, cozy, you hew, and you think of a fond memory and a pleasant memory of the deceased, and you say, tonight I'm going to connect with Aunt Mary. Voila.
And yeah, it's a matter of intending. We call it intending before we go to sleep. If we want to connect with someone who is recently deceased, we simply think about them and then hew for a minute or two before we go to sleep to set up that frequency so we're connected, because we're already connected and we know that. We're part of a giant hologram that resonates. There's a connection there. We just need to get on the correct frequency, that's all.
Okay, let's go to Kurt in Minneapolis. Welcome to the show, first-time caller. Hi, Kurt.
Thanks, guys. Say, about 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression, given some sleep medication to allow me to go to sleep. About 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea and given a CPAP machine. I spent 3 to 4 years trying to get that thing to work, and it just was not going well for me, so I gave up on it. About 2 years ago, I started having nightmares where I'm fighting. I will wake up punching my bed. I'll wake up punching a wall or kicking a wall. I broke a toe on my foot. And then just about 5 days ago or so, I broke my right pinky finger, and I fell out of bed and hit my head on the floor.
Oh, geez.
And now I have a big knot in my head. So why am I having these dreams? What are they trying to tell me? And what do I do to get rid of them?
You definitely, Kurt, you've had a hard time of it. You're going through a lot, my friend. And it's a disharmony. And, you know, that's what depression and anxiety, when they occur and they're diagnosed or not diagnosed, when we have them, we're out of harmony. It's called, you know, the word disease, dis-ease. We're not in harmony, at ease with ourselves. That's why we've developed and we recommend the toning technique, one-step therapy, or it's the solution, one-step solution. Keep it easy and simple. That way we don't have to do 5 years of therapy and diagnosis. To get in harmony, Kurt, all you need to do is simply hew before you go to sleep. In your case, I would recommend doing it for maybe 10 minutes each day, just silently or softly, like hew. And you can.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be really loud, Michael, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It can even be silent.
It can be silent in your own head. It has the same effect because it impacts the quantum particles within us and changes our frequency. So suddenly, we're at ease with ourselves, and when we come back into alignment, literally with ourselves, suddenly the health occurs. That's why there's a healing. And I can't tell you how many of our clients have called us and said, "Hey, I feel healed for the first time in my life."
Hey, I want to comment real quick.
Yeah.
If I may. Yeah. If you incorporate the hue, as Michael mentioned, that will help. It also, we tested the hue with an oximeter, and it increases oxygen. So if any of the listeners have the sleep apnea or even oxygen or you know, emphysema, any of these things, the hue, which you can do silently, again, so you don't have to exert your lungs to do this, will bring your oxygen levels up. So I highly recommend that for the sleep apnea that you were speaking of, as well as the best thing is to ask before you go to sleep, what are you, the higher self, Jesus, God, Buddha, trying to tell me? What is going on here? So a combination of the hue and asking with a sincere heart, you will know exactly what's going on for you. And by hueing, it'll be getting fixed all at the same time.
Next up, we go to Eric in Ocean Shores, Washington, west of the Rockies. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Happy New Year, George.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
What an awesome show. You got two great guests on tonight.
Oh, they really are.
You know, Michael, I just wanted to maybe give you a comment and say Happy New Year. And I wanted to say also, or ask a question too.
And sure.
The comment is,
absolutely.
I think that the Sphinx is, the name is what George's guest said last time, Babuo Bastet is what I said. And he said Babuo. He had an Egyptologist, another gentleman before. I forget what his name was, George. What do you think the name is, Michael?
I believe that originally it was, at least through my research and what I've done with the Sphinx, when it predates, you know, before the Greeks came in and changed the name to the Sphinx, the ancient Egyptians originally named it Hu, and they used to actually go to the Sphinx physically and hew from dusk till dawn. It was like a 10 to 12 hour cue chant, if you will. And so it's always held a, you can imagine if people were chanting there for years and years, from dusk till dawn, it has a certain vibration with it.
Didn't you also, but wasn't it ancient for God?
Yes. It's an ancient sacred name for God that, is in, you know, it's in the Bible. Literally, it's in the Quran, it's in the Vedas, it's in the Torah, it's in the Granth Sahib that the Sikhs use. The Druids had it, and
The Masons,
and it's been almost in, we tracked it in 14 religions.
Wow.
Yeah, human. It's where the word human comes from, God within man.
Interesting. Jesus is with us, San Antonio, Texas. Welcome, Jesus. Let's get you in before the break.
Yes, my question is, if I have a reoccurring dream that I'm getting into a car accident, and no matter what I do, it always comes to pass in the same ending of me actually passing away, what would that mean?
What does that mean, Nicole?
How long have you had the dream?
Years now, maybe at least a good 6 years.
Okay, when was the last time you had the dream?
Maybe like last week.
So pretty recent. That's pretty recent.
Official message.
Michael Lynn, stop it.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. He always tries to be the funny guy. So anyway, okay.
Is it precognitive, Nicole?
Because it happens so often, I actually think it's a recurring message, and because it's so volatile, that's when it's the nightmare recurring thing to get our attention. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't be a prophetic situation. However, you know, I really, intuitively for me, I don't think that it is, but only he can know. And actually, you can find out yourself by asking. Say, you know, you can literally ask, is this prophetic or what?
Who do you ask?
Your higher self, the universe, God, whatever your belief system is. But here's the thing. Let's say, what was I going to say? Okay, let me think here. So, the message, what is the message? Because if you figure out the message, it's going to go away. The dream is going to stop. That's what's up with recurring stuff. When you figure it out, it actually stops, and it recurs because we didn't figure it out yet, and it's a strong message. So, if a car accident type thing, you know, and it might mean, you know, be careful, slow down, watch what you're doing. You know, it's something that you'd have to say, well, what's going on in my life? Or what issue keeps presenting itself for me that's not positive?
And for me, if I had to interpret it and it were my dream, it would be telling me that I was accidentally harming myself in some way, doing something that is negative that I need to take a look at. That's all, that I'm accidentally doing something unconsciously. So you may want to take a look at that.
Well, like tarot cards, Michael and Nicole, when you get the death card, it doesn't mean you're dying, but it could mean it's the end of a relationship, end of something you're doing or something like that, right?
Absolutely. Death of the old, make way for the new.
What's the website for your institute?
The Ancient Way of Knowing, or DivineGuidanceInstitute.org.
Simple as that. And your books are available where?
Oh, everywhere. Through your website, all the links through our website, or, even bookstores. And if it's not there, you can ask. They can order it.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment with Michael and Nicole Sebastian and take final phone calls here about the night terrors, the dream states, and all that good stuff when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Harry Dent joins us for the first couple hours talking about what is in store for the next year or two financially and economically. And then later on, we're going to talk a little bit about Gnosticism and mysticism on Coast to Coast. Make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with our final segment with Michael and Nicole Sebastian. Their websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Their books are available all over the place. I'll mention them one more time before we're off the air with them tonight. And Michael and Nicole, thank you for the service you provide people. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure and honor to be on.
Yeah. Thanks, George. I really appreciate it.
It's got to be satisfying for both of you, knowing that you have helped people, isn't it, Michael?
It's it's my life's work, and it's all I ask every day, really, is the opportunity to be of service and to be loving, to give love and service. That's it. That's my mission.
Let's go to the calls. Let us pick it up by going to Chris in Clearwater, Florida. Thanks for calling, Chris. Go ahead.
Well, Michael, I wanted to address what you said about Paul earlier, but on Hugh, the chewing, I came across that, I guess, intuitively and then learned about it. I'm so glad to hear you mention so many historical references. And I've come up with a saying that, you know, from practicing certain energization techniques, that it's akin to the word you. And so I've come up with a saying that to yourself, to everyone, and to everything, say, God, you, there you are. You can play hide and seek with me, but your cleverness is in me to reveal you more and more. And when it comes to lucid dreaming, that I've found that it's helpful, and I've told others it's been helpful also to sleep with kyanite, the mineral kyanite near your head, or put a stick of kyanite behind each ear, or put it under your pillow. Other minerals like selenite and shungite help too, but kyanite I've found really helps to turn a lucid dream into recognizing that it's actually an astral travel. You know, if you're lucid dreaming, you're often actually astral traveling, and if you you're confabulating or exaggerating, ignoring otherwise or misperceiving certain details, that you can't fully accept how fantastic it is. So before you sleep, remind yourself of your various boundless capabilities, and if you should suspect or realize that you're dreaming, consider that you're likely astral traveling, and ask spirit for help and revealing the truth and correcting the experience to what it should be to make the most of it. The more lighthearted you are, the less affected you are by gravity if you're out of body, and easier it is to help heal yourself and other beings or situations and do so much more. You might learn you don't need to fly or walk or travel to a location, but you can will yourself to instantly be there, and or whenever, wherever, past, present, or probable future, or even alternative timelines. So these are just some examples of your abilities, and you might find you can stay fully in control of your physical body even while exercising them.
What do you think, Michael?
I think all of that is exactly on the money, and I realized at some point, kind of along the lines of what he's saying, the caller, that we are very, very powerful beings, and we work inwardly as well as outwardly in our dreams. In other words, we are constantly working spiritually, inwardly and daily outwardly. So, and we have the power to manifest anything. We can visualize it and put the feeling with it, and it brings us to it immediately, like an electromagnetic field. It just draws that thing to us, and we can create anything.
Next up, let's go to Maria in Sterling, Illinois, on the wildcard line. Hello, Maria. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So I kind of had like a couple of questions.
Okay.
They're kind of like connected. So I know that one of you mentioned earlier about how some people can like influence dreams or manipulate dreams for, you know, for any reason. Is it possible to influence somebody's dreams from like a long distance, somebody that you haven't talked to in many, many, many months or even like a year or so? Is it possible to visualize or do something to influence their dreams for them to contact you out of the blue, somebody that you haven't spoken with for a long time, or that you haven't really had any ability to, you know, contact them through like conventional means?
Yes. To answer your question, yes. But let me there's a caveat, okay? Because we're all unique individuals, and we don't want to invade one's psychic space and incur karma for ourselves. So I would set a it up, but I would bless it with may the blessings be, so that only the highest good is the outcome. And if you're not meant to connect with this person, you won't. And if you are, then you will. That way, you're detached from the outcome, and you're turning it over to spirit.
Okay, and let's go to Maria back for her second question. Go ahead, Maria.
And then connected to it, how, I mean, do you have to have natural, like, strong psychic powers, or how?
Oh, no. All you would do is program and say, hey, you know, I'd like to connect with, again, just like the deceased loved ones, well, alive, living people as well. I'd like to connect with, you know, Jim, you know, this is your own thoughts. You're talking to God or your the universe or your higher self, whatever your belief system is, you know, and you set that up and you have a fond memory of the person and you visualize the outcome. Important. Visualize that outcome. Already see yourself with Jim, talking to Jim, you know, hypothetical, whoever it is. The outcome that you want to see, that is critical. And then you bless it. You must bless it, Maria, only so there's no karma and the best outcomes can only happen for you.
And, you know, we're all connected. So that's part of, through quantum physics, we're one large hologram. We're connected. So we think of people as separate. Oh, can we get a hold of them inwardly or outwardly? That's not the case. We're already connected. We just need to think about them and send that electromagnetic field outward, and we are connected.
Let's go to Joe, Monterey, California. Joseph, go ahead.
Good show, George.
Well, thank you, Joe. Of course.
For a long time, I was a member of Ekankar, and I used to work with the light and the sound, and we used the word hue. And hue is also used by the Sufis. It's an open sound word, which allows the energy to go out. You can travel out. For over 10 years, I was a member. But it was through the dream travel that I found a lot of revelation on who Ekankar is, what Ekankar is, and the members, and a lot of other negative things that I found out. Now, I don't want to say terrible things about the teachings as much. It's what you do with it. It's a cult. It's a negative cult. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the dream travel and whatever work you're doing to help people in the dreams, because that's very powerful. And the word hue, although it's an open word, which makes you travel, you could also use the word H-U-M, hum. It's an inward sound, and you could go within if you want to meditate. I just had to put that out there. Now, I used to meditate for 3 hours a day.
3 hours a day, Joe?
Yes. Well, you're working with the Holy Spirit, light and sound. The Holy Spirit is composed of these two things. It's a life force. And it's so incredible when you have experiences, when you enter the light, you change. This stuff changes you when you work with, well, divine spirit, what Ekankar people call the Ek, the Holy Spirit. But I finally realized that it was really my guide, and it's not the leader of Ekankar, my own guide that we come into the world with. He's very powerful. He is on the Council of Nine. He's a silent one. I'm a silent one also. But I had to go through whatever I had to go through because I needed to learn, and I did learn, and I could see things that the intuition is incredible. And when you work with the sound, you get sound sensitive. So you get information from people's voice. Yeah, 3 hours a day in the morning. And then at night, I used to do spiritual exercises as well. It was like food for me. So the Holy Spirit is like the teacher. So I want to congratulate on your guest for bringing out the fact that the word hue is a very powerful word to travel outward. And in the dream state, yes. And keep a dream log, by the way.
All right, Michael, how did you two come up with the hue, which is very ancient indeed, but how did you bring it back?
Well, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, in our research, like we've mentioned and before, that it's in at least 14, we found it in 14 different religions in their sacred book. And as you know, the interesting part is as I began to try it, kind of like Joe's story, like doing it daily for 15 and then 30 minutes and 40 minutes a day, I found it an extremely powerful form of being able to soul travel, to get out of the body, to leave the body. Also, I used it to heal myself from, you know, from severe PTSD to other things that I was experiencing. So that's the for me, that's the kind of the genesis or the history of the HU.
Let's go to Charlene in Pico Rivera, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Charlene.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, well, thank you.
Good. I've always wanted to ask this question to dream experts, so I'm finally glad I got in on dream experts.
Just in the nick of time.
I've always had this ability to remember my dreams. In fact, it would be unusual for me not to remember my dreams. I mean, I can tell you dreams I've had when I was a kid. I mean, I couldn't tell you the date or anything, but
right.
I just have total dream recall, and I always dream in full color, full sound, everything, like a movie. So I've always wondered, why do I have such good dream recall when most people don't? I've always been curious about that.
Great question. Michelle, why don't you take that, Nicole?
Hey, I would suggest that it's based on a past life. It's something that you're very familiar with. And so it's just like anyone that has a good talent in this life, or someone that's playing the piano at the age of five, they brought it in from a previous life. That's why things are so clear or so easy for them, or they're, you know, well-versed in this. So I think that, you know, you've probably studied dreams a whole bunch in the past, and you brought it with you, as we do. We bring those good things and the negative things with us. So bravo to you.
And Michael, you take that too. Go ahead.
Yes. I would say it's experience. And as we begin to experience, say, a lucid dream or a vivid dream, it's like anything else. We get better at it and better at it. And some people are, you know, they're really, really good at it. It's like playing basketball. If you start shooting hoops, at some point you get better and better, and you're making 10 out of 10 at some point. And that would be what she is doing.
Michael, what would you say for you personally, and I'll ask you, Nicole, the same question, has been the most satisfying aspect of what you do?
It's the, for me, it's the having the opportunity and the knowledge that I'm able to contribute in a positive way to being of service, really being of service to other people. And I don't ever look for, I do my job and be of service, but I never look for feedback to where people will call and go, oh, thank you, I feel better, I'm healed. But they have called me, and it's gratifying. It's like it allows me to expand my consciousness and keep giving more service.
And Nicole, how about you?
For me, it's witnessing an individual have the miracles happen. Like all of a sudden they went from, you know, believing maybe into full knowingness and experiential with one-step therapy, the HU, or, you know, the ancient way of knowing, dream signs and intuition, a prophetic dream, or making it a life decision, and then it turned out, or like the woman with the lead poisoning and her health changed from that. It's the miracle. When that happens for a person, that's like, it's so exciting for me, and it never gets old. Never gets old.
Super. Both of you, thank you for being on the program. We really appreciate it, and Tom will be working on our Beyond Belief TV shows with both of you. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Bedall, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.